My congregation knows that I love history. My mother told me one time that I was born in the wrong age, that I liked old things and I love to look at old things and go back to old houses, and I still like old cars and things of that nature. And it seems that almost every Thanksgiving that my mind goes back to those early pilgrims and what they endured to come to this land and to establish a nation. My heart was refreshed the other evening when I observed an individual who has started a petition, and I asked if the petition was correct when I heard someone say 250,000 signatures already to reclaim Thanksgiving. I like it. I don't like all this Christmas stuff taking place before Thanksgiving. I think it's anti-American. Thanksgiving should be more than a day before Black Friday. My son is working in Columbia, and he is helping a store to set up their products. And I said, "When do you start work, son?" He said, "Black Friday." And I had to stop and think what he meant. And then I discovered it was what is referred to the day, the Friday after Thanksgiving. I'm so glad that he has tomorrow off, so we'll have a lunch together, and I hope that many of you enjoy your family as well. But my mind seems to always return to that American literature class at Central Wesleyan College, reading again William Bradford's The Puritan Culture and the Journal of Plymouth Plantation. William Bradford quotes, he said that he was one of those on December the 11th who entered Plymouth Bay in the teeth of a snowstorm and stepped ashore, according to legend, on Plymouth Rock. His wife was lost overboard in his absence. One of the 50 of the 102 pilgrims who reached Plymouth who were to die within the first year. He also wrote, "Being thus arrived in good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven, who had brought them over the vast ocean and delivered them." And he continues to write and says in another place, "What could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace? And let the children of these fathers rightly say, our fathers were Englishmen, which came over this great ocean and were ready to perish in the wilderness. But they cried unto the Lord, and He heard their voice and looked on their adversity." It is also interesting to look back at some of the developing statements about Thanksgiving. It wasn't until the Civil War, to be exact, that our Thanksgiving holiday was officially recognized by Congress. It had started in that small Plymouth colony in 1621 when the English pilgrims feasted with members of the Wampanoag Indians, who brought gifts of food as a gesture of goodwill. The custom grew in various colonies as means of celebrating the harvest. And in 1777, over 100 years later, the Continental Congress proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving after the American Revolutionary victory at the Battle of Saratoga. It was 12 years later that George Washington proclaimed another day of thanksgiving in honor of the ratification of the Constitution and requested that the Congress finally make it an annual event. They declined. So it would be another 100 years. And the end of a bloody civil war before President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November Thanksgiving. The year was 1863. It might surprise you to learn that it took another 40 years, the early 1900s, before the tradition really caught on. For you see, Lincoln's official Thanksgiving was sanctioned in order to bolster the Union's morale. And many Southerners saw the new holiday as an attempt to impose Northern customs on their conquered land. We don't accuse them of that today. I was joking. Yesterday, I went into the fellowship hall with our preschool children as they were celebrating their Thanksgiving feast. The little children paraded down the hall with their little Indian dress on, and they were doing the woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. And they processed all the way in and came around to the front, and they began to serenade us. 10 little Indian boys and girls is what they sang. And I thought, how this day has changed in the history of our country and in my lifetime. Thanksgiving for many will be football, apple or pumpkin pie, and hopefully, as I mentioned a while ago, wonderful family reunions. Thank God that this is not a time of bitterness or ingratitude. But if we look at our lives and look at the history of our country, it does seem so often that when hard times come and the threat that gifts could be taken from us, that we are jolted into sudden recognition and gratitude. Many times in my ministry, when I have talked to those seasoned Christians of the faith, and I have spoken to them about how did you endure during the Great Depression, some have even told me stories of how their family endured during wars, and some memories have even gone back to what their grandmothers and mothers told them about the Civil War and about how the troops endured and what they encountered. I think that the first characteristic for a grateful people is to remember. William Bradford called for the pilgrims to remember that God had been with them as they traveled over a vast ocean. Maybe for some, we need to remember where we would be except for the grace of God. When I was in Bible school, we sang folk music, and one song we used to sing went something like this: "Show me the addict whose scars on his arm causes him to lose his self-will and turn to acid and use of those pills. Show me the drunkard who staggers out the door, and there but for Jesus Christ goes you or I." We do need to remember. We do need to think about who we are, whose we are, and where we could have been. I guess that we all have had hardships and trials. I suspect that most of us can talk of valleys that we have gone through. And we can reflect upon God's strength that has and is bringing us through. The second necessity, I think, of thankful people is humility. Today, as we come here to worship, the reality is that we have come to the acknowledgement that we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. In witnessing to a man one day, I was sharing with him about his need for a relationship with Christ. And I forever remember the statement that he said, "I do not think that I have been bad enough to go to hell." I responded by saying, "So, are you good enough to go to heaven?" And I remember the look on his face as he says, "No, I guess I'm not good enough to go to heaven." For as thankful people, we acknowledge that we are indebted to God. We belong to God. We are not our own. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ. We are the sheep of God's fold. It is God who has made us, and not we ourselves. As God said to Job, "And where were you, Job, when I formed the worlds?" The reality for us is that in our suffering, we discover our humanity and our vulnerability. Grateful people recognize God's goodness. I cannot tell you what happens to me when I enter this sanctuary or any of my friends' sanctuaries that I have been into since coming to Greenwood or at any other time. But as I enter the sacred place where we worship, it seems as though I'm always aware of the Almighty, that God's mercies have been extended long before my life ever began. And God's mercies and grace will continue after my death. And to stand sometimes beside the coffin of a dear saint of God and say, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, I affirm that God is still merciful, that God is still reaching out to us in love and care. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my favorite theologians, a German pastor, imprisoned in 1943 after being safe here in North America, and he made the statement, "How can I serve God in the safety of North America while my fellow brethren are suffering and dying in Germany?" And he returned to Germany and was arrested. He was arrested for his political and Christian opposition to the Nazi reign. And he understood Thanksgiving. For 2 years he was imprisoned. At times the war raged all around them. His cell was struck by collateral damage. The windows were blown out. He endured miserable cold in Germany. And I remember my dad telling me when he was in Germany that he saw water pipes freeze at 6 feet underground. That's cold. And he endured those cold winter days. On the day of sentencing, he conducted a service for the other prisoners. One of those prisoners was an English officer who survived World War II. He wrote these words, "Bonhoeffer always seemed to me to spread an atmosphere of happiness and joy over the least incident, and profound gratitude for the mere fact that he was alive. He was one of the very few persons I have ever met for whom God was real and always near. On Sunday, April the 8th, 1945, Pastor Bonhoeffer conducted a little service of worship and spoke to us in a way that went to the heart of all of us. He just found the right words to express the spirit of our imprisonment and the thoughts and resolutions he brought to us touched our hearts. He had hardly ended his last prayer when the door opened. Two civilians entered and they said, 'Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with us.' That only had one meaning for all the prisoners: the gallows. We said goodbye to him. He took me aside and whispered in my ear, 'This is the end for me. It's the beginning of life.' The next day he was hanged in Flossenbürg. The beginning of life for Bonhoeffer, where he worshiped God in a Gestapo prison with the gallows in view. He understood the meaning of Thanksgiving. that first Thanksgiving was born out of suffering. Survival and gratitude. We as a nation gather here tonight and we have suffered wars. We have been attacked. We are enduring economic turmoil and an uncertain future. And in your life tonight, there could be other events. And we have all the more reason to celebrate Thanksgiving in remembrance, humility, and understanding that God is good and that God's mercies endure forever. Amen.